Live. Okay, we're live, RK. Thanks so much for your time. Can you hear me?
That's great. Okay. Yes, yes.
Okay, RK, we should have be here with a bunch of other Persian or Iranian. I think euphemistically we call ourselves Persian because
supposedly, because of
the negative connotation.
Supposedly, yes.
Yeah. So, let's have a chat. I want to have your perspectives. First of all, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit? Where are you? What's your background? What's your journey to Bitcoin? And then we'll go into a little bit.
Thanks for having me, Kayvan. Yes. I'm actually originally Iranian. I grew up in Iran. I moved out of Iran as a child in 1999. I have lived in several places. I've lived in Germany, I've lived in the Middle East, in the United Arab Emirates for a while, the US, and now I'm based in Switzerland. I actually have a financial banking career. I started my banking career in 07, right before the crisis hit the markets. And I actually joined the crypto economy. It was 2017 when the bull cycle of 2017 happened. That was the first time I got into Bitcoin. And the first time was the usual experience, just bought some because of the price. And then I sold it when it crashed again. And I actually went down the rabbit hole much later. I went down the rabbit hole end of 18. That was the time when I really, really got curious about the game theory, the entire rabbit hole of Bitcoin. And ever since then, I'm actually a full-time Bitcoiner. That's
amazing. Yeah. I mean, we've been all through this journey, different individual journeys. I've been from 2016, 17 to all this shit coinery, and I thought, believed in this whole decentralization, preaching of, and because there was nobody until I started learning or the reading books, whatever that is. Andreas Antonopoulos, started watching TV videos and all these talks and the interviews. But it's a self empowered journey to sort of autodidactic learning, and until you understand, oh my God, this is the essence of Bitcoin. When you understand what is real decentralization, what are distributed systems, what is the absolute scarcity, I think then it made this total aha effect. I think a lot of people, I've always been someone who the ethical principles are always important. What is the bigger vision behind it? And I think a lot of people were trapped in this whole shitcoin era because of that, maybe. Maybe also because of profit maximization, and profiting and blah, blah, blah. But I think there was this bigger vision or hope, dream, what we could achieve with this,
But... Yes. I may give you a little bit of my story. I was actually working in the derivatives market for a while. I was a dealing desk trader in FX and in all kinds of futures and options trading. And I was sitting on the other side, and I have seen a lot of people getting wrecked. I've seen a lot of people gambling. I've seen a lot of people coming and going. That was my work for a while. And what Bitcoin actually brought into my life for the first time, if I'm totally honest, in my banking career, I always had this division between moral ethics and money. It was like, you have to choose one side. You have to be either ethical or you have to choose the financial part, because essentially in every bank, you ultimately benefit if the client loses money. That's just, it's just the truth. It's just the truth. That's entire incentive structure is in a way that you are benefiting if others are losing. And Bitcoin was the first financial asset that connected these two worlds for me. And this was the main reason why I got more and more interested in it and attracted into it. And for the first time, I felt that I can be ethical and at the same time have a financial benefit, you know, which is quite amazing, because no money that we have ever had the same, principles or let's say properties that brought these two worlds together. It's very, very, very unique. That was my, you know, experience with Bitcoin and the reason why I got more and more interested. Of course, there's a lot of other aspects into Bitcoin, but that was the main thing that got me even more interested in it.
When did you first like understand like that the whole system is so deeply rigged, so deeply corrupted? I mean, you know, there's like this aha moment where like everything is so misaligned, like it the whole system just invites to be corrupted, to steal systemically.
Yes.
I mean, look at the whole system. It's just a systemic, a purely systemic theft system and corruption system, deeply
yes.
entrenched.
For me, the moment I realized that was when I started to understand what money is. I realized I have been in finance for such a long time and I had no clue what money even is, you know? And like the reason I was able to profit all these years was because we have a broken financial system or broken monetary system. The reason there is the opportunity to trade back and forth currencies against each other, because one goes up against the other in a short term and people get wrecked. You have the massive casino. The biggest casino we have today is the Forex market. It has it's the biggest market, by the way, $6.5 trillion daily turnover.
That's so astronomical.
Think about it.
I can't even imagine. I mean,
it's
mind-boggling.
It's crazy. It's mind-boggling. Yes. So for me, the moment I realized that this is such a pyramid scheme was when I started to learn what money actually is, because I never learned that at school. I never learned that at any period of my career. No one talks about this because we take it for granted that the unit of account we're using works until it doesn't, right?
And so I got to give a shout out to Robert Breedlove. You probably, you know, you most probably know him anyway. But
of course, yes.
This series, like, what is money? And he's, you know, and he's so correct. He's so right. You know, from the beginning, he said, I mean, you know, his article is really deep and very long reads, but he asked the very, you know, precise, focused question, like, what is money? Because we've never been taught, you know, as you said, you know, we've never been taught, whether it be in school or universities, and let alone, you know, the modern monetary theory or modern economics students. I mean, you don't even probably... Maybe from time to time, people tell me, yeah, they've heard of whatever, was it like Mises or Hayek or whatever, but it was sort of a short sideshow, but it was never like, you know, taught or discussed or anything, you know, like, where does money come from, and the rabbit hole of what is money, you know, so very sad.
Yeah, it's quite astonishing that people are not taught that, you know. But yeah, it's quite interesting that you learn only, I mean, I don't want to emphasize that every university out there does only one thing, but the majority of programs teach you how to work for others. You know, they don't teach you independence. They don't teach you anything about money. They don't teach you to be your own captain, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the core problem.
Exactly.
Of any, yeah, I mean, it's
And
It's even worse.
it starts in childhood, and I gotta give a shout out
Yes.
really to Danielle Prince, who is really totally homeschooling his kids, and he's a total advocate of homeschooling, and I've learned so much, from him and through his perspectives and understanding, what I mean. I've somehow occupied myself with the topic of homeschooling because we are already thinking ahead of what how we're gonna homeschool our daughter who is 8 months old, but in the years to come, you want your kid to become creative, really intelligent and wise and question everything, and but you can't, if you send them to school, I mean, they can maybe socialize. That's the only positive aspect, gain some friends and blah blah. But really become creative in your thinking and your comprehension process, that is only possible with homeschooling. And that's why, what is money? What are these criminal structures that we are, controlled by or somehow ruled by until now, until Bitcoin came up, and that's the only hope, I think amongst Bitcoiners, I hear more and more. That otherwise, we would all probably we would have no hope, no, we'd all be dead.
I couldn't. It's so hard for me to imagine a world without Bitcoin. It's such a. I mean, probably we would all be gold bucks. That's what I would imagine. But it would be such a. Yes. I mean, what alternative would we have, right?
You can see
It
it's not
would be
happening.
such a devastating world, I think, seriously. I mean, I wouldn't have any hope. But who knows? You don't know.
Okay. Let's talk about Iran. I mean, we talked off the record before. I myself, I was born in Iran, in Shiraz near the Persian Gulf, and then with 7 years old, my parents got divorced after a few years, and then my father took me to Austria where he already been. And it was a and I thought, it was funny. I thought I was going to visit Disneyland or something. I don't know why, but anyway, we went to Austria, and then we were supposed to go to the United States, but then that happened afterwards. I went in total 5 years to the United States, and then since then I didn't go back to Iran. That's the whole point, since 79 or 1980, I think I did a short visit. And every Iranian I meet, diaspora Iranian who lives anywhere, in Dubai, America, Canada, wherever, everybody who's telling me they went for a visit to Iran, they all tell me the same story. It's totally different. It's the different mentality, different emotional feelings, a different experience. And I even, as a kid, when I used to be a kid, I even remember the late 70s, how life was. They called it a second Paris. Tehran, I think, was called the second Paris, and because it was wild, right? It was totally wild. People, women were running around with mini skirts. It was a total Western, a Western country, and that's why, it's still a lot of fears and sadness and bitterness, and somehow I do miss, my family from my mother's side. And but it's in general, it's like the total diaspora. I'm sure you can tell, your stories about your families. I mean, they're everywhere, from United States
Yes.
to Canada to Australia to Dubai, everywhere, millions and millions and millions of people. So before we talk about Bitcoin in Iran or whatever, perspectives or knowledge you have, what would you say is the current status, geopolitically, economically, socially, to give people a glimpse?
Yes. I truly believe that the Iranian I mean not the Iranian people, and this is a very, very unfortunate thing. We can talk about it in a few minutes, but I think the Iranian government has moved quite smartly when it comes to Bitcoin. I think they understand at least that there is something out there, that they have a benefit if they join the Bitcoin network. And I mean, most importantly, because of the sanctions that are there against Iran. But also, I think they are in this situation where they have to play it quite intelligently, because at the end of the day, their incentive for their own home currency, which is the real, is not to adopt Bitcoin as a national currency, right? Because if they lose the monopoly that they have today, they would lose that. But at the other side, for their imports and for everything they do internationally, they have come to the conclusion that they need this asset and they have a chance to do more internationally if they do so. And I think they're playing it quite smart. Actually, we were having a discussion on Clubhouse in Cafe Bitcoin. We're actually doing a session every Friday with the guys at 4:30 Iranian time every Friday. And I think it was one of the guys who was saying that the Iranian government is a little bit trapped, but they are playing it quite smartly. They don't promote it as loud, but they also don't restrict it in any way, in any shape or form. You can buy wallets in Iran, you can use Bitcoin, they mine it, but I think so far the miners are obligated to sell the Bitcoin that they mine to the government for rials. So this is the current status that the government is on. But when it comes to the people, maybe we can talk about this after here, but it doesn't look good for the people. I think it's the amount of shitcoinery happening in Iran is tremendously high. People
Really?
are,
Mm-hmm.
yes, it's really bad. It's really, really bad. And it's a lack of education, I think.
Is it also because of desperation, like people, because they're so, social, economically oppressed, or I don't know, or deprived?
I mean, it's, I think, two things. One is just like you said beautifully, desperation, because they don't have any money. So they're thinking very short term. So they're very, very, very high time preference minded because they think, I want to get rich quick. Because if you have a very poor society, the mindset is, how do I get rich quick? All the time, right? You're not taught in a fiat, especially in such a fiat system like in Iran, you're not taught to think long term. You're taught that, or you're taught that you have to survive. This is a jungle here. You need to take every single opportunity and you need to lie to others in order to survive. If you don't cheat, somebody else will cheat on you, right?
Oh wow! So
That's
the
unfortunate.
whole situation forces people actually to become high preference, like to live a high
This is what I
preference.
assume. To be honest, I don't know, but this is what I'm sensing because on Clubhouse, and this is my only reference. Of course, I also hear from other friends, but if you look at the amount of people talking about trading, talking about all these coins, talking about how do I increase my dollar value rather than how do I opt out of this entire system, the amount of, I mean, the level of, and I don't want to offend anyone, but the amount of intelligence in the conversations is very, very low. Very, very low. And you hear sad stories. There was this other girl coming into our room recently. She was disabled. She was disabled and she wasn't able to become a stockbroker. And she was saying how happy she is because for the first time, she can be a crypto trader.
Oh,
Just as
terrible.
an example,
Terrible.
yeah, it's really terrible, and unfortunately, I don't see this stopping anytime soon. I think we're gonna go through several cycles, people getting wrecked, until people realize that all these shit coins have just a gambling essence to themselves and nothing else. It's just about
Sadly,
short
that's sad. That's
trading.
because the, they need probably, I mean, there's different paths, to become wiser, and some people, or a lot of people, obviously, they need the pain point, like, or getting wrecked or losing a lot of money or it's a gambling. I mean, it's gambling and people just don't understand it. They could just accumulate wealth by just saving in Bitcoin, and they don't understand the bigger picture behind Bitcoin. I mean, just look at El Salvador right now. This is why I wanted to talk to
Yes.
connect that to El Salvador. Like, why is Iran? Why? I mean, if it's true, I think 60-70% of Iran's population are very young. Let's say even around like 30 years old. That's what my latest, stats are, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's not correct. But somewhere between, I think, 60-70% are very young people. And I'm like, they're already feeling the pain point. Economically, socially, and then this whole religious theocratic system. They don't have much freedom, and they're seeking or desiring actually the life that others, that they're seeing sort of the role models,
Yes.
how life in freedom. I mean, we could discuss, that's a totally different discussion right now about this whole COVID tyranny, the whole dictatorship, the mandatory vaccination, the whole lockdown masking and all this, I mean, great reset bullshit that they're trying to, shove down our throats. And use that as a window of opportunity to centralize everything. I think that's taking place globally. But I mean, like, the way it is right now, for Iranian people, especially the young Iranian people, it's very unfortunate. And this is my core question is like, why aren't there more and more people waking up? And you actually explained it. It's because they are not educated. They are
Yes.
desperate, they have a high time preference, they just want to somehow survive. So the whole like situation and macroeconomic geopolitical with all the sanctions and embargoes, who are the people that are suffering? It's again the people of Iran, and I'm hoping really that the regime of Iran just oblit just makes itself obsolete, to be honest with you, because I think it's really time
Yes.
that people really empower themselves. And it's a root. The root solution is the money. Once like a
Yes.
critical mass of people, I mean, just imagine 5, 10 million people of the 80 million people in Iran start like the merchants, the bazaar people, the retailers, the people in Iran, start whatever, saving, exchanging, as a medium of exchange, like start transacting on Lightning Network, like they do already doing in El Salvador or any other hyperinflation, inflationary country. What's your take on that?
When it comes to El Salvador and Iran, I think there's a big difference there, and we have to be fair when we do the comparison, I think, because El Salvador has not a national currency, which is a huge difference. El Salvador depends on the US dollar, so they don't have a monopoly on their currency. So the incentive to join something like Bitcoin is, they don't have anything to lose, let's be honest. They have nothing to lose. I'm talking about the regime, right? So they have an unfair advantage, the people of El Salvador, because their government, their president is quite open-minded. He's young, and he basically used this opportunity to essentially have a very, very positive political reputation. First things first, and second of all, to get his nation, rise in the South American region. When it comes to Iran, as you said, we have a very, very oppressed, I mean, the government is not on the side of the people. It's just the
Which
truth. It's
government
very,
is?
very different. Yeah, of course. Which government is? Of course, I agree with you, but
No, but
it's just
it's really bad. It's really bad
It's
in Iran.
just very, yeah, it's it, you have one you have some governments that are less bad as others, let's say this way, okay, to put it mildly. But when it comes to Iranian, I 100% agree with you. It's just a lack of education, and if people would join this network, it would give them the option to opt out of the entire system and flee if they want to. Like, the biggest problem in Iran is you cannot flee with your capital. Like the biggest problem is because I've worked with Iranians, Kayvon, for a very long time, even in the financial side. And I have seen people becoming filthy rich and losing it in a few weeks
Wow.
because of capital controls, you know, because of inflation, because of all these things that that are happening in Iran. And if people would just have the education and would just join this network, the Bitcoin network, and just hold Bitcoin, they will have the option to leave if they want to, at least much, much more easily compared to the past, right? And I think people need to wake up to this. And that's why we also do these rooms every week, to educate people, to make people understand that this is not a gambling casino network. This is basically the door to freedom, something that the Iranian people have been looking for 30 plus years. This is your answer. You've been striking and you've been asking for freedom for so long. And this is not only a gate, it's a peaceful gate. You don't have to fight anyone. You don't have to have a weapon, you know. You can just join this thing. No one can take it away from you. And you can just leave the country if you want to. Or at least if you want to stay in Iran, you can stay in Iran. But no one can take away your wealth from you. No one can debase it. No one can take it physically away from you in any sorts of form. And I think that's a very, very powerful message. I think Iranians have to wake up to this. It's very essential, you know, for us here in Europe and for anyone in the US. It's just an investment vehicle, let's be honest. We don't have a currency problem yet. But for people in Iran or any other comparable country, this is not an investment vehicle. This is the gateway to become finally free and realize that all these problems, all these years, the rise of dictatorship, and all these problems is because they dominate the monetary system. It's nothing else. Everything else is just a side effect of them having the power to just press Control P and print money, you know, and very, very, very little amount of people, activists, don't know that. It's crazy to me. Like activists who want freedom for people, they don't know that the money is the problem. It's all about the money, you know. And if you take away that power from them, it's ultimately, I think, the solution for so many people
It's
suffering.
right in our faces. I mean, it's such a huge elephant in the room. If people
Yeah.
can just understand what is possible with the even, I think it's called, the word is ossification, and then hyper-Bitcoinization, and then on every layer you can think of, not only as a store of value, but then transacting, you can like decouple everything, detach it from the whole system, and become, this is true decentralization, on every level you can think of, economically, technologically, even spiritually, socially, and then all these power lusting and control obsessive entities and centralized structures, whether it be central banks or the IMF or all the central banking structures, the governmental structures, the nation states, the borders, even patriotism would just obliterate itself. It would just become obsolete. Because finally, I think this is the really great, great, great reset for humanity. I mean, that's my personal opinion. I think this is the precipice of going into a totally different, like exponential by order of magnitude rate of speed into evolution on every level we can think of. But it starts with the very materialistic, or let's just say philosophical and spiritual level, and that is the money. Because that's the only tangible thing we are existentially, fighting for actually the whole time and
Yes.
losing all the time,
Yes. If you would not have your wealth stolen from every decade, you would have more time to think. You would have more time to be spiritual. You would have more time to be with your family. You know, it's because it's your time. You're going. I mean, what could be more important? We have limited time on this planet, and somebody's stealing it from you, and you're saying, you're being too materialistic to talk about Bitcoin, because that's the argument of the activist people. Like, this is not about money. We want our rights back. You know what? How long do you want to fight and lose it? Because they have the money. They have the money in their hands, not you, you know? And it's so important to realize that there is fun, and it's almost, Kayvon, it's almost too good to be true.
It is, huh?
Because
Yeah, people can't believe,
it's too
they
good to
can't
be
even
true.
imagine that they're gonna, I mean, you know, I talked to Jeff Booth several times. You probably, I don't know, I'm not sure. Did you read his book, The Price of Tomorrow, Why Deflation is
Yes, I
the
have.
Abundant Future? It's
Yes.
like a such an enlightening book
Yes.
because it's so simplistic. It's so simple to understand, like, what is the root cause, like, of everything, and what is possible with deflation, with the deflationary money that is absolute scarce, that is unconfiscatable, that is totally, I mean, deflationary, and that would, like, you know, like soak itself into every layer of our civilization. You know, people cannot
Yes.
imagine that they could just work 15, whatever hours per week they want, 10, 20 hours, and the rest would just be out of passion, out of whatever, creativity. Maybe they want to research. Maybe people, you know, maybe they have like hidden talents and skills. And that's why our children, you know, are like, you know, they're really screwed. They've been, we all been screwed. I mean, I went to a sort of a elite school and, you know, all these, you know, conservative schools. But at the end of the day, after decades of learning, it's like, what have we really learned? You know, what have we really, I mean, contributed to society at large? You know, nothing. You know, because why? Because the whole structure is so deeply criminal and corrupted. And but on the other end, at the end of the tunnel, there's a huge light, and we can't, and people can't
Yes.
see it, you know?
Yes, because it's just, you know, we've all been born into this system, and it's, I think, because essentially everything you see, every person, every, I mean, this is just your natural state, is you judge everything in your life based on your past experiences. And if your past experiences has been in a Ponzi scheme, you think it's normal that money should be debased. Money should be losing value. That's what you've been taught at school, that inflation is good for growth. Like, have you ever questioned that? Like, why should your wealth be debased every now and then? There is no reason.
The
Why
conditioning is
could you
like so
not?
perverted, you know. People, I mean, human
Yes.
has been, I mean, at least for 100 years, more or less, you know, the sort of the central banking structure as we know it. And people just don't get it, you know. When I mean, I wrote a lot, bunch of article research now about, and I'm sure maybe you've read, you know, the Creature of Jekyll Island, Griffin, or Tragedy and Hope. It's like it's all there. The documents are there. You can just read it for yourself. What their agenda, what the plans have been. It's nothing with conspiracy theory. You know how they want to, you know, the way they want to discredit and debunk everything. You know, it's like a terminology that they come up, I think, in the 60s, 70s at least. You know, latest of, you know, John F. Kennedy assassination, where they want to, you know, they want to tell us whatever, Lone Ranger or gunman. killed. I mean, you know, rabbit hole goes deep when we talk about these topics. But people cannot imagine, you know, how untouchable these structures have become. Like above the law, they're literally above the law. They're criminally immune. You know, and people need just, you know, just opt out. There's no need to go on, you know, occupy whatever, or go on demonstrations or protests, or, you know, and do violent bullshit or nothing. It just needs this critical mass, whether it be 5 or 10% of the Earth's population. Maybe it's even 33 to 4%. That's enough. That would be sufficient. Just in synchronicity, simultaneously adopt Bitcoin, and that's it. The rest would just be a huge chain reaction. That's the way I see it.
Yes. There would be a hyper FOMO going on at some point, at least.
Okay,
Yeah,
I don't
100%
want to
agree
take
with
up too
you.
much time. I know you have to go soon. What is your perspective? What is your vision? Where do you see Iran, like in particular right now? And what would be sort of the chain reaction? taking place after El Salvador now. Do you think there is going to be like a real gradual then unexpected sudden thing going on, you know? And I'm not talking about Bitcoin's price. I think the Bitcoin price is way too overrated. It doesn't matter at what fucking price Bitcoin is,
It's
because one
irrelevant, yes.
Bitcoin and 21 million is 21 million with all the 3-4 million Bitcoin already lost in the ether somewhere somewhere in space. So you know,
Yes.
I think it's all it's I think there's the window of opportunity is for us humanity, you know?
Yes. Well, I think it's a very hard thing to predict, but I assume that we will see more and more nations and more companies adopt Bitcoin. And it's not because because they want to, it's because they have to. And this is very important because many people think, there should be something I should own as a hedge against inflation. No. Bitcoin is not a hedge. Bitcoin is not an insurance. Bitcoin is the ultimate answer to every single financial problem we have today in this on this planet. And if you think you are hedging yourself against something, you are just being bamboozled by old models that don't work anymore. Because every single model you're using is based on a fiat monetary system that keeps debasing time over time. Right. And you can play around and say, hey, this is a hedge. Now it's not a hedge. Now it's 20% of my portfolio. Now it's 30%. And I think this is going to become faster and faster and faster until it becomes very, very, very fast. Like gradually, then suddenly, like Parker Lewis says. Right. And I think it's going to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen like in sequence. I think we are actually, as we speak, Kayvon, I truly believe we are in the process of hyper-Bitcoinization.
Yeah,
This
I'm totally with
is
you.
hyper-Bitcoinization. Like El Salvador, like, would you have imagined
No,
2 years ago that a
never.
nation state would adopt this thing as a currency? It's
Yeah.
crazy.
And then look at the mainstream. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's. It's like, you know, maybe on a private, you know, channel that you know, there was it's actually a pretty good talk just by because I don't watch mainstream anymore, but my girlfriend, you know, found this video and it's like, "Hey, look, it's like in private. Actually, I was on TV like many years ago on that channel." And I'm like, wow, that's at least, you know, not in the public the channel, you know, the sort of the official mainstream channels, but at least they're talking about it. But otherwise, you know, nothing, n not even a mention of it, you know. And if they do, they know in a total negative way.
Yes. So I actually, to answer your question, I don't think we are going to see any special sequence of events. I think it's going to happen back and forth. You're going to have nations, you're going to have wealthy people, you're going to have companies, you're going to have all sorts of people who are going to join this. And the reason why that is so is because Bitcoin is a global phenomenon. It's not like gold. Gold went through sequences of monetization. It went through being as a collectible and then being a store of value and later on being a medium of exchange and then a unit account, right? With Bitcoin, you have a different world going on here. You have something that is living on an international network that everybody can access anytime from anywhere, right? And what you end up with is a scenario where some people use it as a unit of account while others are using it as a collectible or store of value, right? Like people in El Salvador, they will probably use it as one of the first people as a unit of account. Me, myself, for me, Bitcoin is my unit of account already, right? So it's going to differ, it's going to happen all together. And it's going to rapidly become faster and faster over time. This is what I believe.
Yeah, this is super bullish. Thank you. In the name of all this.
Yeah,
No,
well
that's actually
known.
realistic
I'm well
enough.
known for my being hyper bullish on
I couldn't be
Bitcoin.
more
Yes.
realistic, seriously. It's a realistic assessment because, and people just
Yes.
understand it. It needs a lot of it. By the way, shout out to Zia, who's doing, such a tremendous work in Iran with his YouTube channel, trying to educate people and empower them and giving them the knowledge and the tools, whether it be, the wallets or how things work, basic, stuff, but also, what is coin joining, and I think these tools need to be really adopted by m lots more people in Iran, and I
Yeah,
can see it's a good time.
that's why I hit him up. I actually asked him to join our rooms every week. He's coming when he has time, he comes and he talks. And yeah, he's doing a great job. I agree 100%. Yes. You should
Amen.
join our room on
Okay.
Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I will. Because I didn't know, I thought I need an iPhone or something, but now you told me. I hope I have the Android version because my Android was pretty old by now. I need a new phone. Arke, I really enjoyed our talk. Is there any like final thoughts or anything you want to give my listeners, like words of wisdom, or where they can follow you?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at RKBTC, or is it BTCRK? I'm not really sure. RKBTC, yeah, that's right. So, yeah, you can follow me there. You can follow me on Clubhouse. I'm quite active on Clubhouse, at Cafe Bitcoin, in English rooms, in Persian rooms, and sometimes even in German rooms. And all I can give as an advice to all your listeners is just buy Bitcoin. Buy
Exactly.
Bitcoin
Just do the first step. Yeah.
every week,
Yeah. You
every
can educate
day.
yourself
And if you
afterward.
exactly, just buy Bitcoin. And while you are buying, keep educating yourself and start with small amounts and just start with something you are willing to see going up and down in value and be comfortable with it. And the more you understand what you have bought, the less you are concerned about the short-term price movement in your local currency, whatever it is.
Exactly.
So that's what I would give to anyone, and never sell.
Yeah. And be prepared, for the unexpected. I think
Yes.
you're spot on, man. I mean, it could happen anytime. I think this is the calm before, because I've been hearing like, what's this price crash again? It's being dumped to whatever, like in euro it's like 39 or 37 something
Yes.
thousand. So I'm like, this is the calm before the storm. We don't know. There's just so much going on. It's like, what does the price really reflect? What does it reflect?
Yeah, the bullish news have become the norm. Like it's crazy. Like every single day there is some bullish news, and yeah, it's just a matter of time for
Yeah, I couldn't
sure.
say better. Yeah. Okay, thank you so much, and I hope, we'll just get on a whatever Twitter space. I hope this is gonna work next time because I haven't really I'm doing
Sure.
this for the first time. Otherwise, I'll join you on Clubhouse and we'll have a
Definitely. Thanks
wonderful
for having me,
chat.
Kayvon.
Thank
Thank
you,
you.
RK. Yeah,
Peace
talk to you
out. Thank
soon.
you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Peace.
Bye-bye. Bye.